This is the Sideline Slice, presented by Valentino's Pizza, the official pizza of the Huskers. Here's your host, Jessica Coody, and Husker Radio Network analyst, Jeremiah Searles.
Welcome into a post-spring game edition of the Sideline Slice presented by Valentino's Pizza with the big dog, Jeremiah Searles. I'm Jessica Coody, and just like that, spring football chapter is closed.
Yeah, it always comes to this big pivotal head, and you know the spring game is such a fun celebration for the fans, celebration for the players, and you know it was a beautiful day. You know, it was super nice out compared to last year. Last year was freezing.
Yeah, it was miserable.
Like I remember up in the booth, I was like, "Oh, have fun down there and have the fun down there on the field, Jessica." But you know, the field was great. It looked like an electric atmosphere. I'm sure there were some recruits in there that had a great time. So yeah, it finally over, chapter closed, and now the next time we play football, it's for real.
I thought it was really cool. I mean, I talked to a few of the former players that came back. Seemed like there were more this time around, maybe because the weather was nicer. But, you know, Cam Taylor-Britt was back. Amir Abdullah, which we've heard about the relationship between Amir and Coach Rule from Carolina. And Trey Palmer was back. And it was just, it's so neat. And then, you know, speaking with Coach Rule about, you know, they want these recruits to fill that coming in and the importance of bridging that gap and everybody feeling welcome. It's just, it's really neat. I mean, you guys talk about it a lot, but I don't know if we always get to see it, but the spring game was an example of just that.
Yeah, the spring game is always a giant reunion, right? Because when you show up to a regular season game, you want to be kind of locked in. It's usually a big game, want to see what's going on. But the spring game, you know, it's a glorified scrimmage. And so it's like, who my buddies are here? Like, who can I hang out with? Who haven't I seen in a while? Who do I want to catch up with? And, you know, it's just so nice to be at a university that welcomes us back like that. You know, I think for most of Husker Nation, you just kind of think that's the norm. Right, like, oh, yeah, well, every university just lets their players come back. It's not like that everywhere. You know, talking to guys in the league that I played with, they would say, like, oh, you go back to your school? Like, they barely even talk to me anymore. They barely even let me in the building, right? And it's just different. It's just different here, right? It's different here. It's a family atmosphere. It's a community. You know, it's everyone that wore the N before us and everyone's going to wear it after us. You're part of the brotherhood. And so, you know, I love that Coach Rule's embraced that. I think it's really smart of him, and also he understands it. And, you know, it's just going to continue to draw more and more support from everyone that's been here before him.
Well, let's dive into maybe some of the big takeaways from the spring game. And, you know, the two injuries were not good to Bly Hill and then Demetrius Bell. But, you know, I think we saw very quickly Coach Rule said going into it, it very well could be an air raid, you know, just basically a battle of throwing it up in the air and letting those guys battle it out. And we saw that. And I feel like I've been really impressed with the wide receivers throughout spring. And we got a little bit of a taste of that. Lots of different receivers getting in on the action. And Dylan Raiola really spread the ball around, especially.
Yeah, you know, we talked about this receiver room. You know, some transfers in, some guys from last year. But the emergence of some young players is what we're going to need. And Jalen Lloyd being one of those guys, he ripped off the long touchdown there. And, you know, we saw the flashes of just pure speed out of him last year in a lot of the games and some reverses. But you can see the development of him in a player. Right, you're starting to see his route running ability, his ability to create after the catch, like not just, hey, you're really fast, go, but, you know, just the continuing progression for him. And, you know, that's a great job by the coaches there, Evan, being able to just continue to keep grinding with these guys, right? And with Raiola, and you can tell me if you think I'm wrong, but it's weird to me when I watch him. He looks and acts like Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, my gosh.
And
I'm not
comparing him to Patrick Mahomes. Right? I'm not saying he's going to be Patrick Mahomes. But, like, the mannerisms, and I swear, if he starts doing this nonsense with, like, the little finger thing, I'm going to lose it. But, like, he literally just walks around in the confidence and everything. It reminds me of Patrick Mahomes. It was just so bizarre to watch. He's even got the, like, little Futh hair coming out the back of the helmet. Like, it was just bizarre to watch him. But he spread the ball around like Patrick Mahomes. I'll tell you that. You know, I think you were telling me it was 13 of 15, 13 different receivers or something like that caught the football for him, and, you know, just throwing it all over the yard, and the arm talent obviously well on display. And, you know, that's kind of what everyone wanted to come and see out of 15.
So you were not the only person that made that observation. I do think he's training with some of Mahomes' folks too, but, you know, his first pass was not a completion, but boy, he let it fly, and you could just hear the crowd react. And then, you know, a couple of his passes, like you and I said when we went out to practice, it looks like something special coming off of his hands.
Yeah, I mean, he may have the purest arm talent of any quarterback that's been here in the last two decades. You know, just pure arm talent. I'm not saying like he's the best quarterback in the last two decades. Yeah. Time will tell for that. But just overall raw arm talent, you know, it's there. It's on display, the arm angles, the different ways to make throws. If he can continue to develop his IQ of the football, of IQ as a passer, you know, understanding protections, understanding run fits, and just continue to getting smarter and smarter, his arm will take him all the way to the NFL if he wants to.
And you pointed this out. This is one of the first things you noticed when you were out of practice, but I think a lot of people got a glimpse of it on Saturday too. But the improvements of Henrik Harburg also, mm-hmm. he made a couple of really, really nice throws as well.
Yeah, you know, I think we always kind of forget that he was a freshman last year, right? Like, he was young. Like, we looked at him and we were like, oh, he's the vet coming into the room now. It's like, well, he's not a senior. No, he's not a fifth-year guy, right? He's still a young developmental guy as well. And so, yeah, it's great to see that all those guys are continuing to get strides because it means they haven't hit their ceiling. And we talked about his throwing motion is very different than last year, and that was very apparent on Saturday as well, where you can just see it's not this big wind-up sidearm fastball thing anymore. Like, it's more of a true throwing motion and rhythm. You know, I thought all the quarterbacks did a good job of trying to get the ball out in rhythm. Right, and that's a big thing when you talk to quarterbacks, when they feel like they're clicking and they're going. It's a hard thing to do in spring ball because you've got a billion different receivers and different tackles and centers and everything's all over the place. But, you know, I felt like all the quarterbacks took their time and got in rhythm well. Oh, excuse me.
Bless you.
Woo! The allergy season, baby.
I do have to correct you, though. Henrik was a sophomore last year, but he did not not play in a game. It's actually his third season. He's a red shirt and then a red shirt freshman, but that was his first action ever on the football field was last season.
He's a red shirt freshman. Freshman. His first year being a contributor is
wanted to make sure that people didn't say, he's not a freshman, you know,
He was a red shirt freshman, which means he's a freshman, because until you play, no one cares.
Okay. So, let's talk about Danny Kalen, too, because, again, this is a battle, and this is something that will carry into the fall. But, you know, again, just as a true freshman, it's you sometimes forget, like, those are two true freshmen out there. Yeah. But Danny Kalen's another one of those guys that doesn't seem to carry himself that way all the time.
Yeah, and, you know, I think Danny and Dill are going to push each other like crazy, right? I mean, Danny doesn't care that he's a five-star recruit, right? He's like, I'm here to play. I'm here to compete just like you are, right? And I may not have the God-given talent that's given you. That doesn't mean that I can't outwork talent, right? And so that's a great competition. I think those two are going to be really good friends. I think they're going to push each other well. And, you know, if I'm Danny Kalen, I'm sitting there going, hey, if Dylan's everything's cracked up to be, then in 3 years, he's going to the NFL, and I'm going to be the guy for at least 2 years here, right? And that's not a bad thing to be anymore. You don't have to be a four-year starting quarterback anymore to go to the NFL. It's proven. Guys are doing it time and time again. But I think Danny has shown some really raw ability to show that he could potentially be the guy down the road. Right, he's still got some growing up to do. I mean, he's big. Like, he's a big kid. He's got a big trunk on him, and you know, I think that's part of the allure of like, hey, let's continue to develop him and really get him going on the physical side of it, so that when it is his time to go, he's gonna be ready to go out there and take the thing and run. You know, and also it's not a bad problem to have three quarterbacks that you feel good about, because very rarely does a quarterback make it the entire season anymore through a game here or a game there that you need a spot starter. You want to have good quality depth that when those guys run in there, you're not feeling like there's a drop-off.
Yeah, and Coach Rule alluded to that, but he thinks it's going to take the whole room. And, I mean, it took three guys. We saw three different quarterbacks last year, so you definitely need more than one, so you got to get all those guys ready to go. I did want to, you know, circle back to the wide receivers and, you know, that speed that we've heard this coaching staff talk a lot about, the importance of it. I think you're starting to really see that and, you know, on display, especially with Jalen Lloyd. I mean, what kind of separator is that when, and you know, in Tony White's defense, he was not able to put out his full arsenal of being able to make the quarterback's life uncomfortable, but still, just with the speed of one-on-one matching up with a guy like Jalen Lloyd, some of those speedy receivers, what kind of separator can that be for an offense?
Yeah, you know, there's a couple of ways you can look at it. In the pass game, obviously, you always want to have the threat of stretching the defense and taking the top off, right? I mean, then why do you think the Chiefs just drafted Xavier Worthy out of Texas, who ran a 4-2-1? Because they want someone who Patrick Mahomes can play 500 with and throw it as far as he can. Right? When you have that type of threat, it makes corners back off. It makes safeties stay at depths. It makes you bracket coverage guys, and it creates opportunities. You know, you look at it from the run game. If you have a speedy receiver, that safety that likes to put his nose in the box and first and 10, second and 10, because he thinks it might be a run, he has to make a decision. Do I stay back and make sure this dude doesn't run by me for the explosive play, or do I come up there and run support and go? And if he stays back, then you're looking at more like 6, 7, 8 yard runs instead of maybe 3 or 4 yard runs, right? And that's all just with the threat of speed, the threat of getting behind the defense. And, you know, when you can have multiple of those guys, or, I mean, one or two of those guys, you can make a defensive life hell, because defensive coordinators, if there's one thing they hate, it's when receivers get behind the last line of defense. Oh, it drives them bananas, right? When they're like, how did you lose that guy? How did he get by you, right? And sometimes, like, well, he's just really freaking fast, coach. Like, I don't know. But if you have multiple of those dudes, it really puts the defense on its heels. And if you get into attack mentality, then you know you've got them right where you want them.
One of the things I've been meaning to chat with you about, we just have not had the time in our conversations, but the addition of the being able to communicate in the helmets. Mm. And you did that at the NFL level. You had that opportunity to kind of, I guess, get a feel for how that works. And when I talked to the freshman quarterbacks at the beginning of spring, they said it was really weird. They have been using it here, that technology. They did it last fall. They just didn't use it in games. Obviously, now it's the defense that's working out how they want to use it. But how does that change the dynamics of the communication between, you know, the offensive coordinator, quarterback's coach, all of that, to the quarterback and right there at the line of scrimmage?
Yeah, so the operation should be smoother, right? And I'd have to make sure, I don't want to speak out of turn, but I know in the NFL, the headset turns off with 15 seconds left on the shot clock. Right, so the 40-second play clock, at 15 seconds it shuts off. I'm not sure if it's going to be the similar, different, or kind of around there for college. But that doesn't, it's not a lot of time. I mean, it may seem like a lot of time, but it's really not, right? For a coach to get a full play call in, maybe give a couple updates to the quarterback, and then, right, shut it off. But I have seen coaches, and I have talked to quarterbacks that say, like, man, if a coach is in my ear the whole, like, whole 30 seconds during that, like, it drives me nuts. Mm. Right, if a coach is trying to be like, all right, hey, gun, trips right, two jet, why shallow, Z cross, X post. Hey, watch for the two safety check here. Hey, watch if they do this. Let's get to this. Let's da, da, da. And then your quarterback's like, and then the cut's off. And then you're like, oh, shoot, I only got 15 seconds. Hey, hurry up, get to the line. Right? Like, I've seen that happen, yeah, with rookie quarterbacks that got into the league that just aren't used to it. So it's going to be a learning curve for every quarterback in college football. It's going to be good for the game, right? I hope that we get to eliminate some of the posters on the sideline of a giant, yeah, rubber duck and all that other nonsense, right?
Taylor Swift.
Like, yeah, like, I hope that stuff starts to fade out and it becomes more real football. But, you know, it also allows the coaches to put, like, two play calls in, right? To have two play calls and say, hey, get to this. Or if they play hurry up, right, you can play hurry up, you get to the line. It allows a coach to see everything and get you to the right check as long as you do it quick enough. So I love it. I think it's going to be a great thing, but it's just going to be a matter of an operations perspective from how much, who has it. Is it Satterfield? Who's calling it in and making sure that those coaches don't have too much going on those young quarterbacks' plates and putting too much on their minds.
Okay, because that's fascinating that you bring that up, because sometimes you're watching, like, play calls come in, and it is going up until the last second, and people are going nuts and crazy, and it is bonkers, and I could not imagine if that is in my ear, you know, the entire time. So I'm sure, too, then it's also going to be a process of figuring out what quarterbacks like to hear, what they don't like to hear, what stresses them out, all that, but also maintaining your composure, because it can be chaotic when you see different, when you see the defense lining up differently. Oh, this play call might not work. Let's change it real quick. I mean, it's ever flowing. And so it's got to be, you also probably have to be mindful of, okay, let me not panic in the air here.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Like, and you have to be calm as the coach, right? Because if you're panicked, he's going to panic. Because not only does he have you in your ear as a coach, right, but the tight end's running up like, hey, did you see I was open on the seam? Or the O-line coach is like, or the O-linemen are like, hey, what's the count again? Or, hey, what down is it? Right, like, you're getting asked a bunch of questions in real life, but then you also have this dude in your ear just like, drips left, right, blah, 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 blah. Like, it can be a lot, and it's, yeah, why those dudes make $50 million in the NFL that can handle it, right? But I'm glad that it's getting into college football. It's good for it. But, yeah, there's such a learning curve, and every quarterback's going to be different. Right, what Dylan wants to hear, what Danny wants to hear, you know, what those two guys are going to want to hear may be completely different than what Harburg wants to hear, right? Harburg might be like, listen, just give me the play call and let me be, right? Versus Dylan might be like, hey, if we hurry up and you see something, talk to me in my ear. But I also have been in a huddle or in a hurry-up situation where a quarterback's trying to get checked to something, all of a sudden, like, hey, look out for this. The safety's coming down. Get you. And it just cuts off, right? Like, oh, no more. Okay, I guess we're winging it. Here we go. Right? Like, that plays a factor into all of it, too. So it's such a different dynamic that's going to be input into the college game, and I'm really excited to see what it looks like.
What is the kind of communication that the defense is hearing?
Yeah, you know, defense is just the play call, right? It's pretty simple for defense. Defense is dumb, right? They're just like, hey, over cover two, ready break, right? And then everything goes from there, and then everything's just hand checks from there on out once you go. But, you know, a lot of it's just getting the play call in. Mike linebacker, safety, usually wears the green dot in the NFL, I'd assume. With the way that Tony White's defense is run, I assume he'll give it to a linebacker just to be able to communicate to the guys up front, also communicate to the guys in the back end, right? They're kind of that middle coach there, but a lot of that's just getting the play call in, or hey, alerting them to hey, this second and 10, second and 10 tendencies tell us they like to run play action here, right? Remind the guys over double Tom, ready go, right? Those type of things are what they go through, just quick reminders and getting the play call in for the defense.
Yeah, Tony White, I chatted with him at the beginning of spring, and he said they're still trying to figure out how they want to utilize it because they do run so many different guys out there. You know, and you can only have one guy designated to be that guy. And so I know that they have had different guys wear it. John Bullock, who was my Cornhusker conversation, has been one of those guys. Isaac Gifford certainly has. But it's like, which one do you give that communication to? Because they are constantly rotating guys out. So it's more of a work in progress for the defense, I think, and how they'll utilize it.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, usually in the NFL, the Mike linebacker never comes off the field. He's there on every single snap, and so he's always out there. You know, I think a guy like Singleton, right, like he's a guy that I think should never come off the field for the defense, so maybe he's the guy that wears the green dot, right? But you don't want to have a corner wear it because they're so far away, right? If they're trying to get things done or put things in there, you don't want to have them be running back and forth and what they need to do. So it has to be a safety or a linebacker.
Mm. Okay, so we don't really have much to, I guess, really dive into with the defense because, like we said, I think it's hard to really, you know, completely dissect what we saw on Saturday because of the fact that, again, Tony White was not. He was kind of handcuffed a little bit on what he could do, and not to mention Jamari Butler, Nash, Ty. None of those guys played. So it was more so, I feel like, a showcase for the offense, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's not the defense. Anyone that watched Husker football last year knows that is not the swarm all over you attacking downhill defense that we saw in the fall. And it's not like Tony White all of a sudden changed his philosophy over the last 5 months. No, that's just as much of, hey, we don't need these guys that have played a lot of football to play another game, get injured. We need them for the fall. Let's get the young guys out there. Let's keep it simple. Let's keep it moving. Let's not show anything new we've been working on. And let's give the Husker fans a show for what they wanted to come here and see. And that's watching these quarterbacks throw it all over the yard.
Greg did want me to ask you about the offensive line, and which, again, I think is hard to really determine because a lot of Ben Scott didn't play, who's arguably the best player on offense a year ago. Ben Hart didn't play. Turner's still coming back from his injury. So I don't think he got a full, feel for what the offensive line is going to look like. But I do think they got some push, some of those younger guys. And, I think they're coming along, some of those young players that we've talked about how important it is this spring.
Yeah, and Teddy made it through a full spring. That's a huge step in the right direction for him. Right, he's a guy that needs to just feel more confident in his body and to make it through the whole spring and looking to be him to be our left tackle. And, you got Evan going in there too, who's trying to get better. And then Gunner, all these dudes got better this spring. Right, and when you want your guys to get better, that's what you kind of, at the end, we talked about in our last episode, like, did they accomplish the goals that they set themselves out for? And watching some of these young guys run off the football, get into their double teams, attach and run, it just shows me the progression that they're on. And that's a testament to Coach Raiola and how he cares for these dudes, how he goes for these dudes, and again, there's probably some pressures that were in there, some sacks that showed up, but again, those aren't our starters, right? It's hard to gauge a spring game, right? It's really hard to be like, well, who won, right? Like, was it the offense? Was it the defense? Was it somewhere in the middle? Or, was it gray, white, red, purple, green? Like, who won the day? And it's just like, the Huskers won, man. Like, everyone got better, and we only had two injuries. That's a winning day in my book.
And thought they took better care of the football.
Oh, my gosh. It couldn't have been worse than last year.
Right.
I mean, last year, I remember I was calling the game on BTN. I was like, oh, Rule's going to blow a gasket. I was like, he's just going to lose it. I mean, it was just fumble central everywhere. And, yeah, a couple fumbles, a couple interceptions. But, you know, overall, I thought that the operation was good this game. Right? Guys in and out of the huddle, up and off the field. No balls on the ground, those type of things. Limited balls on the ground. All those things were good this year, which is a step of showing just, hey, it's full year in Rule system. There's more accountability. There's more discipline. There's more everyone holding each other accountable. That's all really good signs pointing to the future.
Like what we saw to the running backs, too.
Yeah, I mean, Emmett's going to be a beast. I'm so excited for him. I think he's going to be an absolute stud.
Yeah, and they're not even at full strength either. So,
I
mean, there's just only so much you can really tackle at this point, but we'll...
it was such a nibble. It was just a nibble.
Yeah, it really
football.
Was.
Like, it really, you came to the game and you were like, I want the full pie.
But
and
you can't. You can't have the full pie.
You don't get the full pie. You get the full pie in September. Like, you get a taste, right? You get a little nibble of what this can be. And it's just not enough. It's just not enough. I need more. I need more of the pie.
Well, yep. So we'll get the full pie come, what, 3 months from now?
Oh, so close. So close.
Okay, so speaking of going to the next level and the NFL draft was over the weekend. No Huskers hear their names called, but definitely was intriguing with the Broncos getting both Quentin Newsome and Omar Brown. That might be, I honestly don't hate that. It might be a decent fit for them.
Yeah, you know, I'm excited for both those guys. You know, and a chance and an opportunity is all you can ask for in the NFL. Right? Nothing is given to you unless you're a first, second, third round pick. You are not guaranteed anything. And, you know, a lot of guys have made great careers being undrafted free agents. Those two guys have the right mental makeup. And, you know, you hope that with the talent that Rule's bringing in here from a recruiting standpoint, that we start to hear more Huskers names called in the late April in the draft. But, you know, for those two guys, couldn't be more excited for either one of them.
And then Phelan Sanford goes to the Raiders. He's a guy that could stick around for some special teams, right? I mean, he's fast. He's not afraid to hit. I mean, he's a guy that could stick around and hang around because of the role he plays on special teams.
And that's the only way he's going to make it, because love you, Phelan. Think you're the man, but you ain't playing safety in this league, stud. Right? Like, you're going to be making it by being a special team, four-core team guy, and being a heartbeat and an energy guy. And, you know, those teams are always looking for those kind of guys. The special teams coach needs to be his best friend, and if they become best friends, he'll give himself a chance.
All right, and Nuri Nwelle goes to the Saints. What does he need to do to maybe stick around there?
He's gonna have to beat up on my D lineman that got drafted down there. So a little crime there of my friends. But no, super excited for Nuri. You know, a guy that battled through the suspension, came back, had some injuries, up and down at times, but just tried and just stayed the course. You know, a thing that'll help him too is the NFL has the the international player rule, right? So since he is from Germany, he could actually be on the practice squad and not count against the roster. So
oh, wow.
You know, I think he has a chance to stick around and develop. You know, those guys that are the international players can really help themselves stay in the league because of that rule for a couple years and really develop in an NFL system and then get their chance.
Coach Rule has talked about this. They're not hiding this. They know that eventually they're going to have to start, you know, building that pipeline to the NFL and producing that NFL talent. You know, how important is that going to be for this program moving forward to start producing that kind of caliber talent that you can get to that next level and stick around at that next level?
Yeah, I mean, look at Michigan. They had 18 guys invited to the combine. I think they had 12 or 13 of those guys drafted. You know, NFL talent wins games. It's pretty simple. And, you know, as a recruit in high school, you want to go somewhere that has a track record of saying, hey, not only are we going to win games in college and have a great time doing it, but when everything's all said and done, you're going to be set up to go make a run at the NFL and make some big boy money, right? Like, that's every recruit's pitch initially, right? If you strip down what a high school recruit is looking for, they want to go somewhere where they're going to win a bunch of football games and have a great time doing it and then set themselves up to go to the NFL. And Rule knows that because he's been in both. He understands what it takes, and so he understands that building that credibility, building that pipeline, it takes time, but it's completely necessary if you want to have sustained success at one place.
Gotta, though, Phil, if you're a potential recruit, just these are guys that just came from the NFL. They understand what it looks like to be able to compete at the NFL. They have those relationships still. I mean, that's got to bode well, again, for building that pipeline to the NFL.
Yeah, for sure. You know, they know what it takes to play in the NFL. They know what it looks like. A lot of those guys, coaches, have been in and out of the NFL. So it's not as much about knowing how to do it. It's just about taking the time to do it, right? They're only in year two of their regime, right? It's hard to come in and take and say, hey, you're a senior this year, and you're going to go to the NFL because I know what we're doing, right? It's going to be more in years 3, 4, 5 when you see guys that are all rule guys, all this staff's guys, how they've developed over time is really what's going to make the difference there.
Okay, so this time in a year from now, are we talking potentially Nash getting drafted? For sure, Ty Robinson's got to be in that conversation. There's got to be guys that we're hearing their names called in a year from now, right?
Yeah, you know, I think Ty, Nash, Isaiah Nair, Ben Scott. You know, I think there's probably 4 or 5 guys that are going to put themselves in discussion to have this type of year. If they can have a good year this year, they'll definitely put themselves in consideration for the NFL draft next year.
What does Nash need to do to be able to move up those conversations?
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest thing for him is just being more developed and more polished as a pass rusher, right? It's obvious he's a powerful dude. He can eat up double teams, but the NFL is a pass league, right? They want guys that can get to the quarterback. They're not looking for the guy that can just eat there and stand still. Yeah, you got to eat the double teams. You got to be able to push the pocket, collapse the pocket. So just continue to work on his pass rush moves, his get off, having a rush plan. You know, I think he needs to have a better rush plan from play to play. But, you know, all those things are very coachable things, very fixable things. I think if he can start putting those pieces together, then he's absolutely going to put himself in contention to be a draft pick.
Okay, let's wrap this thing up. What is the next chapter look like now for this group? How are they building off what they did in spring moving forward?
Corey Campbell, your time to shine, baby. Bigger, faster, stronger. That's what the summer's about. Bigger, faster, stronger. Putting yourself in the best physical shape that you can be heading into August. You know, getting yourself geared up, ready to go. You're feeling good. Your body's tight. You're ready to rock because it's a long haul once August hits. But, you know, this is kind of a little breath here in May to regroup yourself, refocus yourself, go see your family, get a couple weeks off. But then once you step back on this campus late May, early June, it's go time until the following December.
All right. You hit the golf course yet after the shoulder surgery?
Getting close. I hit the short course a little bit last week. I don't think I'm ready for the full swings yet, but it won't be long. It won't be long. I'm getting a little stir crazy. It's too nice. It's too nice to not be out there swinging the sticks.
All right. Well, maybe by the next time we have a pod, you'll be out there. But you're going to be helping us out on Sports Nightly coming up here pretty soon.
Yes, this summer. Looking forward to it.
All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for this episode of the Sideline Slice presented by Valentino's Pizza. We got a couple more fun episodes that we're planning that we will drop here coming up in the next couple of months. But I think that'll at least wrap up spring football, our spring football episodes here for now. But stay tuned for much more. And again, for Jeremiah Searles, I'm Jessica Cootie. This is the Sideline Slice presented by Valentino's Pizza, the official pizza of the Huskers.
Go Big Red.